Hello and welcome to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in the entire specification, reversible reactions, dynamic equilibrium, and the Haber process. Whether you're sitting your exams in a few weeks or just starting to revise, this episode is going to give you everything you need to tackle this topic with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Before we jump into the chemistry, let me tell you why this topic matters so much. The Haber process is one of the most important industrial reactions in human history. Without it, we wouldn't be able to produce the fertilizers that feed over half the world's population. Fritz Haber, the German chemist who developed this process in the early 20th century, is sometimes called the man who fed the world. So when you're revising this topic, remember, you're not just learning for an exam, you're learning about chemistry that genuinely changed civilization. Examiners love this topic because it tests not just your knowledge, but your ability to apply scientific thinking to real-world industrial decisions. It's a topic that rewards students who truly understand the why behind the conditions, not just the numbers. Right, let's get into the core chemistry. We're going to work through four key concepts: reversible reactions, dynamic equilibrium, Le Chatelier's principle, and the Haber process conditions. Let's start with reversible reactions. Most chemical reactions you've studied go in one direction. Reactants become products, and that's that. But some reactions are different. They can go both ways. We call these reversible reactions, and we write them using a special symbol, a double-headed arrow, or what chemists call the equilibrium sign. It looks like two arrows pointing in opposite directions, one on top of the other. You absolutely must use this symbol in your exam answers when writing reversible reaction equations, or you will lose marks. A brilliant everyday example of a reversible reaction is the thermal decomposition of ammonium chloride. When you heat ammonium chloride, it decomposes into ammonia gas and hydrogen chloride gas. But when those gases cool down, they recombine to form ammonium chloride again. The reaction goes forward when heated and backward when cooled. That's the key idea. The direction of a reversible reaction can be changed by changing the conditions. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. What happens if you carry out a reversible reaction in a closed system? That means a container where nothing can escape. This is where dynamic equilibrium comes in, and this is the concept that examiners test most heavily. As the forward reaction proceeds, reactants are used up and products build up. As products build up, the reverse reaction starts to happen more and more. Eventually, you reach a point where the rate of the forward reaction equals the rate of the reverse reaction. At this point, the concentrations of reactants and products are no longer changing. We call this state dynamic equilibrium. Now, I want you to really understand the word dynamic here, because this is a classic exam trap. Dynamic does not mean the reactions have stopped. Both the forward and reverse reactions are still happening. They're just happening at exactly the same rate. So there's no overall change in concentrations. Think of it like a revolving door at a busy shopping center. People are constantly going in and out, but the number of people inside stays the same. The door is dynamic, it's always moving, but the system is at equilibrium because the rates are balanced. For your exam, the definition of dynamic equilibrium is a state in which the rate of the forward reaction equals the rate of the reverse reaction, and the concentrations of reactants and products remain constant. You must also state that this only occurs in a closed system. If you forget to mention the closed system, you will lose a mark. Examiners are very specific about this. Now let's talk about what happens when you disturb an equilibrium. This is governed by Le Chatelier's principle, which states that if you change the conditions of a system at equilibrium, the equilibrium will shift to oppose that change. Let me break this down for each variable. First, temperature. The Haber process reaction is exothermic in the forward direction, meaning it releases heat. If you increase the temperature, the system tries to oppose this by absorbing the extra heat, so it shifts in the endothermic direction, which is the reverse direction. This means fewer products are made, the position of equilibrium shifts to the left. Conversely, if you decrease the temperature, the equilibrium shifts to the right, producing more ammonia. So for maximum yield, you'd want a low temperature. But here's the catch. At low temperatures, the reaction is incredibly slow. This is a fundamental compromise at the heart of the Haber process, and we'll come back to it. Second, pressure. Look at the equation for the Haber process. Nitrogen gas plus 3 molecules of hydrogen gas gives 2 molecules of ammonia gas. Count the molecules on each side. On the left, you have 4 molecules of gas. On the right, you have 2. If you increase the pressure, the system tries to reduce the pressure by shifting towards the side with fewer gas molecules, that's the right-hand side, towards ammonia. So high pressure increases the yield of ammonia. The equilibrium shifts to the right. If you decrease pressure, the opposite happens. The equilibrium shifts left towards more gas molecules. Third, concentration. If you add more reactant, the equilibrium shifts to the right to use up the extra reactant and restore balance. If you remove a product, the equilibrium shifts to the right to replace what was removed. This is actually how the Haber process works in practice. Ammonia is continuously removed from the reaction vessel, which keeps pushing the equilibrium towards making more ammonia. Fourth, and this is the big one that candidates get wrong every single year, catalysts. A catalyst does not affect the position of equilibrium. It does not shift the equilibrium left or right. It does not change the yield. What it does is increase the rate of both the forward and reverse reactions equally, so equilibrium is reached more quickly. That's all. The iron catalyst in the Haber process gets you to equilibrium faster, but the proportions of reactants and products at equilibrium are exactly the same as without the catalyst. If you write in your exam that a catalyst increases the yield, you will get 0 marks for that point. Now let's put all of this together by looking at the Haber process in detail. The equation is nitrogen gas plus 3 hydrogen gas gives 2 ammonia gas with the reversible arrow. The forward reaction is exothermic. The conditions used industrially are a temperature of 450 degrees Celsius, a pressure of 200 atmospheres, and an iron catalyst. Why 450 degrees Celsius? This is a compromise. A lower temperature would give a better yield of ammonia. The equilibrium would sit further to the right. But a lower temperature means a much slower rate of reaction. In an industry, time is money. You need to produce ammonia at a commercially viable rate. 450 degrees Celsius is the sweet spot where the rate is fast enough to be economically worthwhile, even though the yield is only around 15%. Why 200 atmospheres? Higher pressure pushes the equilibrium to the right, increasing yield. In theory, you'd want the highest pressure possible, but very high pressures require enormously expensive, thick-walled equipment, and they're dangerous. 200 atmospheres is the compromise between a good yield and a manageable, safe, cost-effective process. Why an iron catalyst? The iron catalyst speeds up the reaction so that equilibrium is reached faster. Without it, even at 450 degrees, the reaction would be too slow. Remember, the catalyst does not change the yield, it just gets you to the equilibrium position more quickly. What happens to unreacted gases? This is a detail candidates often miss. Not all the nitrogen and hydrogen reacts. The yield is only about 15%. The unreacted gases are separated from the ammonia and recycled back into the reactor. This makes the process much more efficient and reduces waste. Now, let me give you some critical exam technique tips for this topic. The most common mistake is confusing the effect of a catalyst on the position of equilibrium versus the rate. Write this down and memorize it. Catalyst equals faster rate, no change in yield or equilibrium position. The second most common mistake is saying that reactions stop at equilibrium. They never stop. Both forward and reverse reactions continue. They're just balanced. Third, always use the phrase position of equilibrium rather than just saying the reaction moves. Examiners specifically look for this phrase. If a question says, explain the effect of increasing pressure on the equilibrium, your answer should include the position of equilibrium shifts to the right. Fourth, when explaining temperature effects, you must link it to the enthalpy of the reaction. Don't just say, increasing temperature decreases yield. Say, increasing temperature shifts the position of equilibrium to the left, towards the endothermic direction, decreasing the yield of ammonia. Fifth, for 6 mark questions on the Haber process, structure your answer around the 3 conditions, temperature, pressure, catalyst, and for each one, explain what the ideal condition would be for maximum yield. Then explain why the actual industrial condition is a compromise. That structure will earn you full marks every time. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask you a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What symbol is used to show a reversible reaction? The answer is the equilibrium sign. Two arrows pointing in opposite directions, one above the other. Question 2. Define dynamic equilibrium in one sentence. Dynamic equilibrium is when the rate of the forward reaction equals the rate of the reverse reaction, and the concentrations of reactants and products remain constant in a closed system. Question 3. What are the three conditions used in the Haber process? 450 degrees Celsius, 200 atmospheres, pressure, and an iron catalyst. Question 4. Why is a low temperature not used in the Haber process even though it would give a higher yield? Because at low temperatures, the reaction rate's too slow to be economically viable. Question 5. What effect does a catalyst have on the position of equilibrium? None. A catalyst has no effect on the position of equilibrium. It only increases the rate at which equilibrium is reached. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you struggled with any of them, go back and reread those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points you absolutely must know for your exam. 1. Reversible reactions use the equilibrium symbol and can go in both directions, depending on conditions. 2. Dynamic equilibrium occurs in a closed system when forward and reverse reaction rates are equal. Concentrations remain constant, but reactions are still occurring. 3. Le Chatelier's principle. If conditions change, equilibrium shifts to oppose the change. Or, increasing temperature shifts, equilibrium towards the endothermic direction. For the Haber process, this means shifting left and decreasing yield. 5. Increasing pressure shifts equilibrium towards fewer gas molecules. For the Haber process, this means shifting right and increasing yield. 6. The Haber process uses 450 degrees Celsius as a compromise between rate and yield. It uses 200 atmospheres as a compromise between yield and cost and safety. The iron catalyst speeds up the reaction without affecting yield. 7. Unreacted gases are recycled to improve efficiency. And the golden rule, a catalyst never changes the position of equilibrium. That's it for today's episode. You've covered everything you need to know about reversible reactions, dynamic equilibrium, and the Haber process. If you revise these key points, practice writing out the definitions, and work through some past paper questions on this topic, you will be well prepared to earn top marks. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.